And thank you, Mr. Sterner. Good morning, everybody. Glad you're with us on 88.1. I'm Tom Hall. It's time for a special edition of the monthly Maryland Morning Movie Mayhem segment. We're going to talk about the upcoming Maryland Film Festival, which opens on Wednesday, runs through next Sunday, with Jed Dietz, the director of the festival, and Anne Hornaday, the film critic from The Washington Post. Before we talk about the movies coming up at the festival, the 16th annual edition of the Maryland Film Festival, I want to give a shout-out to the winners of the 2014 Baker Artist Awards. They were announced last night. Congratulations to Chris Bathgate. He's a machinist sculptor who makes sculptures with the computer-controlled equipment, and he's built the computers himself. Todd Marcus, a terrific guy, good buddy. We've worked together, he and I. He's a musician. He's a bass clarinetist, a terrific composer, terrific player. He's also another winner of the Mary Sawyer's Baker Prize. And the third winner, Brent Crothers. He's a sculptor who uses recycled materials. So congratulations to them. Each of them takes home $25,000 to support their ongoing work. They also announced a few B Grant winners. Each of these artists receives $5,000. There are three of them this year. Juita Wasmariska is a visual artist. Ed Gross uses found objects. And David Paul Backrack uses textile and basketry techniques in metal. So congratulations to all of the winners of the 2014 Baker Artist Awards, made possible by the William G. Baker Fund, one of the most important and significant funders of arts, all kinds of arts, including the Maryland Film Festival.
Indeed.
Here in Baltimore. So, Jed, Anne, good to see you guys.
Thank you. Good to see you.
Good morning.
So, Jed, one of the big differences this year in this edition of the Film Festival is the campus itself, because you're no longer at the Charles Theater,
right?
But you're at a bunch of other places. You're at MICA, you're at the Wind-Up Space, you're at the University of Baltimore. Tell us how that's going to work.
Yeah, so we actually have more seats available with this new campus than we've ever had, which is good, because we've been growing every year. We're basically all in Station North, and as we develop the parkway, we sort of love bringing audiences up to North Avenue and around Maryland. And
the parkway is the new building you're working on, which will be up and running in a couple of years.
Yeah, exactly, on the corner of Charles and North. But, you know, people are going to get to experience a lot of places that are new to them, Red Emma's and Liam's, and some places familiar like Sophie's and Tapas, of course, still. The Canteen is a new place. There are a lot of, Kevin Brown's got two places in the area, Nancy's and Station North Arts Cafe. So all that'll be great. We've created a bus system with the people from Veolia, so people will shuttle, be able to no more than every 10 minutes. I think it's going to be significantly less. We've got a bunch of buses that will be circulating from the Walters up through the Station North sites. There are five bus stops that you can get on and off. And it's, you know, 4 or 5 minute walks between most of these locations. So
yeah. Days are like today, it'll be a perfect, day to walk.
Yeah,
you know, because walking from Station North down to the Walters is not all that long a hike, actually.
And
you know, it's on a pretty day. It's a good thing. So, and that when folks go to festivals like this,
yes,
there are, what's it, there's more than 50 films or something that get screened. Mm-hmm. You're a veteran festival goer. You go to Cannes every year. You go to Toronto. You've been to, you know, Sundance and Maryland Film Festival. What's your strategy when you take on a festival? You see this book of films. They all look intriguing on one level
exactly.
or another. How do you figure out which ones to catch?
Right. First you cry. No, that is really the thrill of it. And that's one of the reasons I love the Maryland Festival, is that it still has this sense of discovery about it. There's two huge important factors to any festival. That's discovery and community, and that's what the Maryland Film Festival has. And so what I do is, generally, if I can get a hold of the catalog the night before, I'll just sit and read it. You know, you read the film descriptions. It reminds me a lot. I used to work in a record store back in the days when we had albums. And it reminds me of sort of browsing in the record racks and reading liner notes. And mm-hmm. you kind of see the provenance of these things and see who played on this record and who's worked on this film. And you remember that name from another movie you really liked. And, you know, you take a highlighter pen and you thumb down, you dog ear the pages, and you kind of concoct your little schedule for the next day. And then what happens is that just goes up in smoke within the first 5 minutes, because you bump into someone having coffee who, no, I'm going to go to this one. And then, so that's where the community comes in. And I think what the Maryland Festival's developed over these last several years is it is a community. I mean, you do see those same returning faces, friendly faces, and that maybe some people that you only see that time of the year, but you share this passion for film. And so you have to kind of set your plan and then be prepared to completely upend it and be okay with that. And then and then really literally walk in sight unseen with no expectations and be utterly delighted and blown away.
Yeah, that's always part of the fun, the serendipity of just wandering into some movie that ends up blowing your socks off. It's just really great. As always, Jed, the festival will begin with an evening of short films on Wednesday night at the Brown Center. And one of those films is going to come from a filmmaker from Tehran who will be here. Tell us about Ali Asghari and the movie More Than 2 Hours.
Yeah, so we have a whole bunch of shorts programmed. We chose years ago to devote our opening night to shorts, as you mentioned, with support from the Baker Fund. Anne has hosted it. We always have filmmaker or critic or somebody to host the evening. And it's a great way for audiences to see this part of the movie art form that is hugely important. It's appreciated by every filmmaker, but sort of hard to find. You know, they're around the internet, but how do you get to the ones that are going to be...
It's just not very consonant with, you know, with a theatrical release.
With theatrical release. There's really no marketplace for these films. And then you have to have curating because there are bazillions of them, right? If you include everything on YouTube, for sure. So that we've curated wonderful programs. You know, we will show 130 some films during the festival, and a whole bunch of them are shorts. So this opening night program, I couldn't tell you how diverse it is in terms of themes and filmmaking. These are films that range from, I don't know, 5 minutes to 17 minutes. This film from Tehran, I don't even know how this guy made this film. I mean, it was shot on the streets of Tehran. It's a remarkable little story, and we're thrilled that he's able to get here and be with us, and we'll find out how he made it.
I mean, the title of the film is More Than 2 Hours, but the film itself is like 17 minutes long.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, the short film's a big highlight of the Maryland Film Festival, and as a veteran of so many international festivals. Mm-hmm. Where does the Maryland Film Festival sort of sit in the panoply of these very important events for filmmakers and for audiences?
Well, like, you know, I think the bigger ones have become, increasingly they've become markets, and some of them were even designed to be markets, but they've also become marketing arms. So, for example, Toronto, a film festival I adore, you know, that has become kind of a launching pad for the late quarter films, the holiday season films. And so a lot of studios will do press junkets around that festival, bring their stars in. And so it kind of becomes more about marketing studio films than that discovery that I just was mentioning. The Maryland Festival is preserving that kind of very curated, very personal, intimate, you know, the people that it's only a few days, so it's not sprawling and kind of, you know, on it, you can get your arms around it and have kind of a self-contained experience that it's not just the movies, it's the coffee, it's the restaurants that Jed was mentioning, it's the, you know, nipping out for a pint with somebody that you just met online. I mean, that's what festivals at their best really are, and those big behemoth-like international ones, they're wonderful too, but they're not necessarily.
It's a different vibe.
Exactly.
But you catch artists at a very interesting moment because they're emerging by definition with these films. They don't know where they're going yet. They may have distribution setups. They may be in the middle of that. But, you know, you get to interact with, you know, Lena Dunham, who's just got her little film, Tiny Furniture, and her mom's here, who's in the film. And she's thinking about this HBO relationship, and we'll talk to people.
Yeah, and
about
this was
it,
a few years ago at the Maryland Film Festival.
Yeah.
Jed Dietz is the director of the Maryland Film Festival, and Hornaday, the critic at the Washington Post. We're talking about the 16th annual Maryland Film Festival, which opens on Wednesday. It's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. Let's talk about a couple of the things that tend to get a lot of attention. There's so many movies. It's impossible to pick a favorite, so we're not going to even go there. But on your closing night, it's very important to have, you know, what you all have considered to be a pretty important film. So this year, the closing night, Sunday evening at 7:15, a film called Little Accidents. What can you tell us about that?
This is by a first-time filmmaker, feature filmmaker, named Sarah Colangelo. And it was developed from a short she had made several years ago by the same name. It's about an accident in a small coal mining town in West Virginia. And it's about the human tendency to call things accidents when maybe they really are the result of human choice. And there are other accidents, smaller accidents in the film. She's assembled an amazing cast for a full-time filmmaker. Elizabeth Banks is in it. Chloe Savigny's in it. Josh Lucas is in it. One of the kids from Mud, you know, the Matthew McConaughey film, is in it. But the core, it's an ensemble piece, but the core piece of acting is by this young, brilliant actor named Boyd Holbrook. And it's very specific about time and place. And she's come out of the Sundance Labs. We gave it the Maryland Filmmakers Award several years ago, and it was just in script form. And we're thrilled to have it back for the closing night film. It was at Sundance this year in the festival. And I think it's a film and a filmmaker you're going to hear a lot about in the future.
So a long list of brand new movies, new movies that people haven't seen, but then some old movies and classic in various ways and at various levels. Barbarella with Jane Fonda, the Roger Vadim movie from the 60s. As we look back now, and I understand that Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin are going to do a Netflix series or something coming up, and she's terrific in roles like Newsroom, you know, on right. HBO and stuff. A career that's been so incredible. When you think about Jane Fonda and Barbarella from the 1960s, exactly. Anne, what comes to mind?
Oh, my gosh. Well, it's like what Judd was just saying about the filmmakers at the festival. I mean, you see an actress at a particular point in her career when she was, I think she was... Is this a Roger? This is the Roger Vadim era.
Who she was married to,
exactly.
I guess, at the time.
Exactly. And kind of, you know, he had kind of a Svengali, you know, she had had a kind of a series of Svengali-like relationships with men. And so this was very much a part of that era of her life. And of course, as you just mentioned, she's gone on to reinvent herself over and over again, gaining speed and power and beauty all along the way. So it is. It's like a weird little time capsule of the morphology of an actor's life,
yeah,
and an actress's life.
She's a terrific artist.
I mean, oh, yeah.
I'm just so so taken with her and with her work over, you know, years and years. There's a movie called Fort Tilden that won the South by Southwest Award this year. Anne, what can you tell us about Fort Tilden?
Well, this is on nothing other than it's really high on my I want to see list, just, you know, because I always do kind of check in and see what happened at South by Southwest. And it's about Brooklyn hipsters. And before you, you know, we just lost 50 listeners. I can turn your radios back on. Wait a minute. Because I think that is everybody's fear, is that it's going to hew to that girls, you know, Lena Dunham girls kind of tropes and conventions. But forgive me for using the word buzz, but just the kind of ether around this movie suggests that it's more than that, and I'm very eager to see it.
Mm-hmm. And Jed, on Sunday, as you do every year, the Alloy Orchestra is going to accompany a silent movie. This year it's He Who Gets Slapped. This is actually the first film that MGM ever made. That's amazing.
Yeah, 1924. I think they marketed one other film before this, but this is the first one they put into production, and it's the first film that featured Leo the Lion, the iconic MGM mascot. And it had three hugely important stars and was important to these stars, Lon Chaney, Norma Shearer, and John Gilbert. And the score that they've composed, I mean, for anybody who's had a chance to see a silent film accompanied by musicians performing a score they've composed, it's a great movie-going experience.
Yeah. And Anne, on Monday, you're headed off to Cannes.
I am, sir. Oui, monsieur.
Yeah, oui, monsieur. Very good. So you'll have your fill of festivals.
With luck, yes, with luck, I'll come back with a big bag full of goodies.
There you go. You're on.
All right.
All right, we shall see you next month, and we shall see you guys at the Maryland Film Festival. Many thanks. Appreciate it.
Sure.
Jed Dietz from the Maryland Film Festival and Anne Hornaday from the Washington Post. You can hear more about the Maryland Film Festival on this week's broadcast of The Signal. Film critic Josh Slates is going to be joining Aaron Hankin for a look ahead at the highlights. They'll visit with John Waters, who, of course, has made a pick, as always. They'll talk with horror movie maker Chris LaMartina, who's got a film called Call Girl of Cachula. They'll check in with Michael Tully about his Ocean City teen comedy called Ping Pong Summer, and they'll preview the revival screening of Slava Zuckerman's Liquid Sky. You can tune in and check out that on The Signal tonight at 7 and again tomorrow afternoon at 3 o'clock. The Maryland Film Festival opens on Wednesday, closes on Sunday. Come to wipr.org/Maryland Morning for a complete list of the details. On 88.1, I'm Tom Hall. Thanks for being with us. Have a great weekend.